Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Sully, welcome again to the podcast. This is going to be part B. That's why I'm doing them now, part A and B. So now what we're doing is discussing a topic that has to do with new authors, that new authors encounter. And since you said, well, I just published a book and had to go through setting up the entity and the taxes, things and various things that affected that as a new business, as a new author, as a new book. So we were going to talk about a few of those.
Yep, and it's good to be back. I actually listened to your part B with Penny Appleton.
Yes.
And I like the concept of splitting it up. That's a really cool idea.
It was actually more her idea, though I had been kind of looking for something to do different. So I loved it, and I'm glad she threw that out there. And now it kind of hits two different markets. So part A is like for readers, and part B is for writers. So I can go after both.
Well, exactly. And if you were able to like follow up every year or two with a few authors, you could kind of follow along with that strategy that they talked about versus yes. What actually happened.
Right. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the Rock Rain book in part A, and you wrote that with Jim Kukral, who I'm sure was digging out from about 15 inches of snow earlier this week here in Ohio. Lucky us.
I wish they could send some of that this way.
It'll probably come, but you know, the way the winds blow and all the Great Lakes, it all just dumps between here and New York.
Yeah.
So tell us, what were some of the things you had to get set up and what you had to do and what you would recommend?
So I decided that this one book, I'm going to go wide with it. And I'm going to do a kind of a multi-approach sort of strategy. So I went in and I set up an author account at Amazon and did the same thing with Apple Books. And with Apple Books, that actually took about 2 weeks because you have to do it a step at a time. They have to verify it.
Right.
So when you go in there and you put one of the things that you have to decide is are you an LLC or a C corp or are you a sole proprietor?
Right.
And you know, along with that, are you using your social security number as a tax ID or do you have an EIN?
Right.
So I thought about that for a while. And then, also with Amazon or Apple, you have to decide if you're going to use, you know, an ISBN that you buy or just go with Apple's ASIN they assign you.
Right. Now, right there, you said like four sentences and there's already 500 million things, I think. so let's back up one sec. So why did you choose to go wide? Because when you do that, obviously you can't be in Kindle Unlimited if you're going with anything else. And then why did you start with Amazon and Apple? And are you going to go with Google? And I guess why didn't you use something like Draft to Digital? What were your choice or what were your decisions? Why did you come to those decisions?
I'm going to go with Amazon and Apple and then also Draft to Digital for everything else.
Okay. But so you're going direct to those.
Right. The reason I want to go direct for those two is because I just like figuring stuff out.
Okay.
And the best way to do that is just to go ahead and do it.
Right. I agree. I like to do the same thing.
Right.
Maybe sometimes it'd be better to not do it. But I also feel that in the future, let's say I've got 50 books out. Let's say they're selling really well. I don't have time to handle all that. I would have to get somebody to help me, and I need to know what they're doing, know what the results are, know how to answer their questions. So that's a definite benefit with knowing how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think by doing those steps manually up front, you have a better idea of how an aggregator like D2D does it. And you have a better idea of how to, I mean, more information is just better as far as marketing your book, using the platforms to their full, you know, capability, that sort of
thing. Yeah. Yeah. Now, one of the other things when I was looking into it was Apple at the time was really difficult to get books into. It was next to impossible. Now it's a lot easier for a PC guy. But Google also was difficult to get into, but now you can get into it easier going directly. But some of these also, you had to go direct if you wanted to do marketing. That's not always true either. Draft to Digital has some connections into the marketing now too.
Yep. And those things will continue to, you know, change and evolve.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Google started out pretty user unfriendly from what I understand, but now they've kind of, you know, stepped up their game, and it's, I guess it's much, much easier. I haven't got to that point yet, but, you know, one step at a time. But yeah, all these things will eventually get easier, whether you do it, you know, one at a time or through an aggregator. They'll eventually, you know, kind of line up in the same process.
Now, I'm interested from your experience, each of these, whether it's Draft to Digital, Google, Apple, Amazon, and you submit a file, they each take different file formats, and they will each accept or reject your file from different criteria. And I know everybody talks about Vellum on Apple. Did you use that, or did you do anything specific to get your format for your file?
One, I will never use Vellum because I don't want to learn another system.
You want to go to all the places online directly. You're contradicting yourself there, man.
The different systems for writing my book, I use Microsoft Word. I won't use Vellum for that, and I don't see any reason to use Vellum for one specific task. That to me is not worth the cost or the time to learn how to use it. So I'll use Draft to Digital to create the EPUB or MOBI file. And then I just had a conversation recently with Mark Leslie, the Fave, and I downloaded an app called Sigil, which lets you modify the EPUB file itself.
Okay. Is that Sigil?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And
Sigil ebook, multi-platform ebook book editor. I'm looking at it. Cool.
Right. Yeah. So actually it lets you see the code of the entire file. So you don't want to, you know, just start hacking away. You actually want to know what you're looking for. And so I only made very minor changes, but it was something that couldn't be done in Draft to Digital currently.
Okay.
Which is why I asked him that question in the first place. So that was a pretty easy fix, although it did take me about an hour to download the file, install it on my computer, bring up the, you know, the EPUB file, and then figure out where I had to go to make the changes. That was actually, I enjoyed that process, but it was simple to do once you figured it out.
Okay.
You can modify, you can tailor your EPUB file by doing something like that, and then reload it to whatever platform you're going for.
Okay, so you basically use that to do it all. That's cool. I haven't even heard of that one, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I think in theory you could create the whole file that way, but it's easier to have, you know, Vellum or D2D create the original file, and then if you want to modify it, you can do that with the separate Sigil software.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's because I've used Judo, JUTOH, on the PC, and that seems to have done a pretty good job of getting the file modified without much input from me
right.
to put into all the different places.
Yep. And again, you know, I kind of enjoy the low level tech challenge of figuring those systems out. You know, uploading to Amazon will be different than uploading to Apple, and then for my strategy, D2D will handle everything else, all the libraries, the foreign distributors, you know, whatever else is out there.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the, that was the plan there. And then Apple had a second part. Once they verify your tax ID, then you go in and you actually fill out, you know, the tax information so they can appropriately, you know, deduct, you know, from whatever sales you get.
Right.
So you got, you know, I kept my business address as separate than my mailing address.
What did you choose? Did you do LLC or something else?
To start with, again, as a trial slash learning period, I'm just going sole proprietor with this first book.
Got it. Okay.
As I get more books on the backlist, that'll transition to probably an LLC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just because, you know, if you want to start making a long-term sort of business income from your writing, you want it to be a business entity.
Got it.
Yep. You're going to have tax write-offs, you're going to have expenses, you know, and you don't have to do it that way, but if you want to get the most, you know, out of it with the least amount of onerous taxes, then you have to do a business entity.
Right. Yes.
So that's the curve. So I like to try it, learn it, and then, you know, take it to the next step when I'm ready.
Okay. Got it. So you set up and you submitted to Apple and Amazon right now, and you're planning some others later.
I've set up the accounts. I haven't actually loaded the file and put it up for sale yet. I'm still still in the second half of the final editing and revision stage.
Okay,
I'm hoping to have that up by Christmas time.
Hopefully. You'll probably get it up, and that's when something will go down. I mean, you hear those horror stories. People are like, I just got my book up, and nothing's showing.
Yeah, so, very likely.
Now, are you guys doing anything with print, or are you just going ebook stuff right now?
We're just starting with ebook, and we're just going to see, you know, how it goes and what takes shape. Print and other formats, you know, take more time and money, so we want to make sure you know, that'll be worth it in the end, I guess. I've already had a few requests for a sequel, so it's looking positive. We'll see.
Well, good. I mean, you're talking about a sequel, looking at it?
I wrote it with, you know, a trilogy in mind. So there'll be pieces of the story that will let a book 2 and 3 be written. You know, there's little Easter eggs or references to that. But it's still a standalone story, so it'll be fine on its own. And again, if it does well and Jim and I want to do another one, we'll go that way.
Got it. Okay. And I must say, I have not finished it, but I did receive a copy and I've been reading Rock Rain. I appreciate and definitely enjoy your style and your writing. You can do some things in your writing, I've noticed, that I have a hard time with. That's in between what people say. You seem to me very easily to put in not just their thoughts, but the extra bit of information needed to build the world and expand on past history in the world and things like that. But you don't have so much of it that people are getting bored just reading tons of, you know, info dumps. And you sparse it in there very well. I must say I'm enjoying that.
Oh, well, thanks. But, you know, that's a balancing act. I've had a couple of readers say, well, I want to know more about this and that. So, you know, you can't please everybody, but I try to keep it moving along quickly. So there's less of that.
Got it. Yeah. So you're talking about writing a sequel, and I assume that's going to go wide also. Are you writing anything separate on your own? Anything else?
Oh, yes. I'm halfway through book one of a series, kind of a sci-fi space opera series planned.
Okay. And are you going to do that wide from the beginning also?
Yes. Yeah, my decision to go wide has come over the course of like probably 2 or 3 years as I learn more about it. And it's different for every author. It's different for your tempo of writing. It's different whether you're brand new or have a backlog. You know, so it's ever changing. But it's a little more personal than that. Over the last 2 years, I have perceived, you know, micro steps taken by Amazon that I think are less and less beneficial to the author.
Okay.
And this recent, you know, debacle with their audiobook return, you know, pretty much highlights that they're all for their customer, and they sometimes just do all that stuff at the expense of the author.
Right.
You know, I'm not really, I don't hate Amazon, but I think I don't want to, you know, rely solely on them and their, you know, and their random decisions.
Got it. And, you know, that's a valid, you know, I know there's two different camps or even more than that. And people say different things. I know a lot of people will go up on Amazon to start with for KU. And then once that starts to dwindle, they go wide. But I mean, a lot of the authors I talk to are just starting out. So I don't have a lot of personal talking to and discussions with people on how it's affected them. So that would definitely be a great topic to talk to you about in a year, see how things are going.
Yeah. And, you know, I will probably do the book I'm writing, the first in series, probably KU, just to see what the experience is.
And that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And that's more, again, you know, for gathering knowledge and experience and see how it goes. But there's a much wider world out there that Amazon doesn't reach. And there's a lot of people out there that won't go to Amazon just because they're Amazon.
Right.
And I just listened to a podcast this morning. And they were talking about a going wide versus KU. And it really kind of depends on your long-term strategy in some ways. If you want to build a wider audience with more platforms and more different editions of your book, you know, so print, ebook, large print, audiobook, you know,
hardcover.
Yeah, there's a lot more out there than just Amazon.
Right.
So why not go wide from the beginning and start building that? You know, building that reputation, that platform, and your reader audience, rather than staying exclusive to one, you know, one basket of eggs.
Right. But then there's the counter argument that more people go to Amazon looking to buy books. So if you're there under Kindle Unlimited, you have more exposure, so your chances of selling more. That's just the two arguments I've heard on both sides. And I've done both myself. I've got some nonfiction books that originally were just on Amazon, were in Kindle Unlimited. Totally wrong choice because the category wasn't something that anybody read in Kindle Unlimited. So that didn't help me any. And since I've gone wide with them, they've been selling okay. I don't advertise them anymore. I don't really push them at all, but I still sell several a week in the books and a lot of them wide. I've sold tons in Australia. So I don't know why. And it's not all through Amazon. You know, I use Published Drive. I've got Street Lib. You know, I'm just trying them all out. Those are like my test books, I guess.
Right.
And I have seen sales in just about every platform without doing a pushing on them. So the next thing is to start like Barnes and Noble. I've made a couple sales, but I know I could do some marketing on Barnes and Noble. But then, like you said, you start getting all your time tied up in managing, you know, 10 books in 20 different locations with 5 different marketing things going on. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, now it's 4 o'clock. I have to make supper and I haven't written a word all day. So there's definitely that balance going on.
Yeah. And that changes, you know, for an author over time, their first book versus their 10th book, you know, that entire strategy and how you manage your time is way different between the two. So it can evolve. There's nothing that says you have to stay with one or the other forever. you can go back and forth. You can mix and match.
And like I hear all the time, you know, it's per book. Just because you went Kindle Unlimited with one book or book series doesn't mean you have to do it for the next one. You can change that.
Right, exactly. And the same concept with, you know, going traditionally published versus going indie published. You know, the prevailing wisdom now is, well, if you want to do both, then go ahead and do both. But again, it's per book too.
Right. And that's changed from, I mean, I haven't even pursued traditionally, but that seems to be changing too. That it before, we'll never hire you or never buy your book because you printed something independently. Now it's not as big a deal as from what I'm seeing. I mean, Jay is going traditional and he's got a ton of books.
Jay and Zach and JD just had a really good discussion on that on their Writers Inc. podcast.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this pandemic kind of pushed the traditional publishers into the e-market, probably sooner than they really wanted to or thought they could.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch them completely transform themselves to stay afloat. You know, they got a merger going on right now, so that's a good indication of the times.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic. The Simon Schuster random penguin thing going on. Yeah, but like a lot of people said, they're like, well, that doesn't affect me regardless. And that's true. If you're independent, that does, you know, what you're talking about going wide. That's the best thing about what we're doing is if you're on top of it and you're flexible and you can pay attention, things don't have to affect you. And like you were saying about, going with this platform or another, there's been a lot of push for selling things directly from your website and controlling every aspect. And I know BookFunnel is now offering the ability to sell things direct. And there's multiple other services out there. So I know I was talking to somebody else, and sorry, I don't remember who, that they're like, I'm going to put everything on Amazon and then I'm going to go wide. And then I'm going to start putting all my books on my website. I'm like, well, the problem is, you're training everybody to go to Amazon first. Exactly. And then all those Amazon people are going to go, well, wait a second. Now I can only get your book if I go to Google. I don't want to go to Google. You don't want to do that. And then they're all like, well, why should I go to your website? I'll just wait for you to put it on Google where I've always gotten it. And when you'll have, you know, so that's a part of that decision also. If you want to sell from your website, how is it going to be affected if you go elsewhere?
Exactly. And you have to train yourself to think long term to make those kind of decisions.
Right.
And it's fine if you want to go all in one or all wide, but don't expect, you know, it all to change overnight if you want to change your mind.
Right.
Because you're right. You do train your readers if you point them in one direction to start with, because people like habits.
Yes. And I know people on KU, they won't go elsewhere. So if you put book one on KU, but then make book two wide, they'll never read it, etc. And I know the other thing that I looked at and I considered was, okay, I put some stuff on Kindle Unlimited and Amazon, then I went wide with it. And it's like, oh, am I going? No, I had sales wide. I had sales elsewhere. And the great thing about doing that wide or even selling on your home website is you don't have that 30-day drop off. Everyone talks about, oh, my book sold for 30 days and then it died. Now I don't have anything. Got to get the next book out. Well, like I said, I've had books on wide everywhere and they sell a couple a week. Again, they're not popular category of nonfiction and I do no marketing. Obviously, I could probably improve that, but that's not the point for me for those.
Right.
So I'm not as afraid of that 30-day drop-off. Again, I've got control of my own material. I can, you know, do whatever I want. I can do marketing. I can put it elsewhere, etc. So that's the other consideration. Don't too many people, and I agree, rely completely on Amazon. Oh, now I've got to get our book out because Amazon's not pushing mine anymore. But there's choices.
Exactly. And it comes down to, you know, your personal pain point.
Right.
If you want easy with, you know, not much thinking involved, then probably KU is probably the best answer. And, right. And if you plan on putting out, you know, books on whatever kind of regular basis, and you just want it the easiest route possible, then that'll work. But if you know, if you have some time and some patience and a overall, you know, bigger strategy, then you have to, you know, just pick and choose your platforms and route and timing, you know, as appropriate.
Yeah.
And I know for me, flexible too, though.
Right. And I know for me, I wasn't of the mindset, oh, I got to get a book out there, make it a million seller and become super rich. That wasn't my mindset at all. And that's probably going to help me in the long run.
Right.
Though I might not see the great spike in sales at the beginning, but you know, it's the long tail.
Exactly. And from what I can tell, you know, authors today that are prolific and doing well, you know, started out with one book. So they had to build up to, you know, a couple of backlists before they started making any kind of real income. So it's a natural progression for everybody, not just, you know, not just right. starting out.
But again, what we're really saying is everybody has to look at all of this and make your own choices, because none of the answers are completely wrong. It's just what works best for you.
Exactly. Yeah. There's not one strategy or formula for everybody.
Right. I know a lot of people still use Smashwords, and they get into Baker and Taylor through Smashwords, and they sell wide through Smashwords. Well, I don't particularly like Smashwords. I don't know. It's just not my comfortable aggregator. I do put stuff on Smashwords, but it doesn't go anywhere but Smashwords.
Right.
I turn everything else off. And that's the other great thing. You can have that power. The funny thing is, the one place you cannot control where it gets distributed is Ingram Spark. And that's one of my problems with Ingram Spark, is once you put it into their catalog, they just shoot it everywhere. So it's like, well, I don't want them to do it here or there, but you don't get a choice. So personally, I just use Ingram Spark for the print, and yeah. Everything else I do ebook.
Well, and that just highlights the need to, you know, really know what you're using and why you're using it and how it's being used. And that's where, you know, there's so many different combinations. It's going to be different for every author.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know a lot of people don't talk about print at all.
Right. And you should. I mean, but then again, that's part of your strategy. Is that the market you want to reach also? Or do you care about that? Or, you know, and like you said, I'm not in a hurry to strike it rich. I'd be happy to, you know, do this for the next 20 years and let it build up slowly. I'm in no particular hurry.
Right. Well, what you said about knowing your market and who you're writing to, you mentioned Jackie Penn. She writes romance, and she writes romance for older adults. Well, both of those, that demographic and that category, sell extremely well on Amazon and KU. Yep. And I think that's the only place she has her books. Whereas I'm doing middle grade, which is shown that more middle graders want a print book than they want an ebook, or their parents buy it for them or whatever. So I'm better off having print and pushing the print. So you just have to really know what you're writing and for who.
Yeah. And exactly. And like, you know, Joanna Penn is always saying, you know, you have multiple choices and formats. Why not do them all?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at wanting to do a hardback. It takes a little bit more to do, so I'm working on getting there. But I want to offer a special edition hardback with my bonus short stories included in the hardback. So it's the special edition for people.
Yeah, I would think you putting all those, was it you talking about writing short stories for your kids, or is that somebody else?
Yeah. No, that's me. Yeah, I'm working on one right now. I'm way behind.
Yeah, so putting all those in a collection would be a really cool idea, I think.
Yeah, well, the only problem is they're turning into full-length novels now. Last year's was almost 40,000 words. I mean, the first year was only 7,000.
Right.
And this year I'm still working on it. So I think what I'm really going to do with that series is go back and take the first two or three stories and expand them, which I think they can do easily, and release them as a series of books.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
yeah. That's a great idea. I think there was one more thing we were going to discuss. I forget what it was.
Let me pull up your mail. Let's see. Wide versus exclusive, getting accounts set up, business entity, and an EPUB formatting trick. So I think that was actually all of them.
Yeah, we did all that.
Yeah, wow. And I love the sigil thing. I'm going to put a link to that in the notes for the show. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, actually, I'll send you a link because it's not directly on the sigil site itself. It's sideways somehow.
Yeah, you have to go to the GitHub, which may confuse some people.
Right, yeah. It took me a while to find it and download the correct file.
Right.
But once you do it, it's actually easy after that.
Right. Now, you know, I'm going to go back and ask you another thing with Vellum. You said you didn't really want to learn errors, software, et cetera. But Vellum, you can write in Word and then import that into Vellum, correct?
I don't know. I've never used Vellum, so I don't know.
Okay. I believe you can. So, I mean, what a lot of, and this is honestly, I've thought of buying a Mac only for Vellum if it's that good, because everyone says you just write in Scrivener, Word, or whatever, and then you just import it into Vellum, hit the button, and it gives you the file. It like magically knows everything you need. So, you know, I'd love to test that out. Maybe I'll find somebody to talk to about that.
Yeah, not a bad idea. And the reason I won't bother is because the D2D feature to put my Word doc into a file is free, and right, it's super easy. So why would I bother something else?
Right. That's very true. And again, we have the options and we work for ourselves and control it. We can do whichever works best for us.
Right. And that's why I wanted to mention a little bit earlier is that there are now lots of options out there, and each option is similar, but a little bit different. So it can, you know, whatever one works best for you is what you want to go with.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of work to try them out, though. Just like you said, with setting up the Apple account, the Google account, the Barnes & Noble account, Draft to Digital, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And, you know, that's never going to go away, that little bit of effort, unless you simply hire it, you know, to somebody else. Right. But that's a good thing, because you want to know what you're doing and where your products are going and how it's being used. You don't want to just throw it up there, you know, willy-nilly style and hope it does something. You can't leave it to that.
Well, there are people that, you know, they just want to write. They don't care about the tech. So, I mean, that is viable for some people, but then they spend the extra money having to hire somebody and having to trust that person too. But again, it's your business. If that works for you, who knows? Maybe they get an extra 2 hours of writing done each day that I'm losing by checking all these different sites.
Well, exactly. And it's definitely a trade-off. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses. Like, you know, for example, I'm not a website builder, so I hired some help to do that.
Right.
Could I build a website? Yeah. Would it suck? Probably.
Right.
But it's easier to just hire somebody to get a good one the first time around.
Well, that's true. That's something I'm with, because I mean, I do web stuff. I'm a computer guy. I have a hosting server. So I set up WordPress. I got the Divi plugin for theme and all that.
Right.
And I've put all the elements in, and I look at it, I'm like, okay, it's usable, but I totally understand I could hire somebody to do it better. But I'm kind of also getting to the point where I've got to start getting more stuff out, and it's got to start paying for itself. After several years of courses and books and online this and conferences and materials and et cetera, it's like, you know, we got to start working our way out of the hole, getting some profit that pays for everything else. So there's that balance too.
Yeah. And the guy I hired, Nate Hulfelder to help me with the website, and part of the agreement is that he's going to show me how to manage it, not just build it for me. So
that's good.
I'll be able to update it, make changes, remove old content, add new content, that sort of thing. Because I don't want to just a static thing that never changes. It's got to be, kept updated, and it's going to be more efficient for me just to know how to do it rather than to, get in his queue and have him do it, in his busy schedule. So up front, right, build the frame, and then I can show me how to do the rest of it, and I can maintain it myself. That's kind of the goal.
And that's the smart way to do it. Hire somebody to do the overall layout and design, and then create templates, and then you can just keep adding pages using the templates, right, and the content. Exactly. Yeah, that's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey,
go ahead.
Anything else, sir? I was just going to say, anything else, sir?
No, I think we covered a lot of stuff in a short period of time.
About a half hour. That's good. Okay, well, Solly, I appreciate you taking some time to come back on for part B and discussing everything about setting up entities and your choices for doing so.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back, and I hope this helps some folks out there.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope Rock Rain does well for you and Jim. As soon as the pandemic's over and he's, not compromised, I told him we got to sit down and have a cup of coffee.
Coffee, couple beers, and
yeah,
Jim and I like a couple of tequilas on occasion. So,
Well, hey, if you come back into town sometime, shoot me a line and maybe we can meet up to say hey.
I think that's an excellent idea. As soon as we can all travel and fly in comfort and the world is normal again, if that's even possible, I don't know.
More normal.
Yeah.
You don't want to come right now where I live, Portage County. We just got upgraded to level 4 purple, which is like the worst level. We can't get any worse. And so, don't come around us right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, send me some of that snow because we have none right now over here.
Well, I could send it, but I'm not sure how it would arrive.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
All right. You too, man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.